So today, where is the focus? What would you start to tell people, and what are the key pieces that they need to do to help market their business?
So, and I see, you're absolutely right. There's obviously been a big shift over the years. There's been certain trends obviously that have stayed the same. We all want to grow our business. We all want to some things have remained the same. For example, staying top of mind, building credibility, wanting to drive traffic to, our platforms, things of that nature. But how we do it has changed over the years, and social media obviously has become a big part of that. So around, 2010 through 2020, the social media sites became the mainstream over internet marketing.
Welcome to the Small Business Safari, where I help guide you to avoid those traps, pitfalls, and dangers that lurk when navigating the wild world of small business ownership. I'll share those gold nuggets of information and invite guests to help accelerate your ascent to that mountaintop of success. It's a jungle out there, and I want to help you traverse through the levels of owning your own business that can get you bogged down and distract you from hitting your own personal and professional goals. So strap in, adventure team, and let's take a ride through the safari and get you to the mountaintop.
Alan, we got to go again. We got to keep on going every day, every night, every hour, every minute, every second. That's what we
do. Cheers to that, brother.
So here we go as we grind it out. We're drinking Horse Soldier Bourbon, and we got one of our favorite opportunities because we got somebody in studio with
us. I love it that way.
And we love in studio, as everybody knows, and we've been listening. Hey, before we get into it, though, I get a little email bag for you. So, ready? Female email?
Female. Bag.
Yeah. Email bag. All right, here we go.
You're in such trouble.
Love to hear about why you think home shows are good for home service contractors. So, I'm going to answer that.
Good timing.
It was good for us. Well, because I posted all over the place, and the guy says, hey, I listen to your podcast, and I see you're going on these home shows. Tell me how they work. I said, it's a grind, bro. So, we're doing home shows again. For my company, the Trusted Toolbox, and my only thing, if you ever work a trade show, if you ever have to do multiple days on your feet like that, wear multiple pairs of shoes.
Mix it up a little bit.
That's it. There's it. My pearls of wisdom. All right. So along with pearls of wisdom, let's introduce our guest, Corey Perlman.
I see what you did there. You've been waiting on that all day, haven't you?
I set that one up, brother. I set that one up. Corey is a digital marketing specialist. He's OG, actually, because he was doing digital marketing before we even knew what digital marketing was, or it was even talked about. He was doing digital marketing when they only had a printer press, I think, like the Gutenberg press. I don't think he's as old as us, though, Alan. So, Corey, welcome.
Thank you.
All right. So, also a three-time author. Cheers to that.
Yeah,
and he's drinking with us on that one. So
yes,
I'll drink
cheers.
That.
Cheers.
So, Corey, let's jump into the whole thing, digital marketing. So when did you actually start in it? And this, again, technology, right, just goes so fast. I mean, even last year, you're like, I can't believe I was doing that stuff a year ago that I'm doing now.
I got to say, it makes me wonder, is that why you had to write three books? Because the technology changes so much that your content has to change.
It's job security. I got to tell you, I'm lucky that every year it's like dog years. Every year in technology is like 7 years in regular years. So, I was doing it when MySpace was cool. Right. And now here we are and everyone's asking, what the latest and greatest is. So, I've been doing it for 15 plus years. And I was telling you guys before we started that it was back with General Motors when they were figuring out how to make money on the internet with their dealerships, and
that was just 15 years ago.
That was 15. Yeah, that's crazy as it sounds.
Just
that was 15
figuring
years
out.
Ago. Yeah, I mean, in some, well, actually,
and think about how you buy a car now.
That is true. And yeah. Let me say that was a little bit longer than that, maybe 20 years ago, about 2001, right around September 11th is when they were really figuring out EGM and technology. And so they launched their websites and such. And so we were teaching their car dealers about the internet, and we were trying to do it in a way that wasn't over their heads. And quickly we learned that if we did geek speak, we'd lose them. And so we had to do it in a way that was fun, interactive, and entertaining. And at any point we started going down the path of geek speak, we'd see
I'm still that way.
We see that.
The fade.
We see the fade.
The eyelids go down.
The eyelids go down. And so from the last 20 years, that's been my whole thing, is teaching whatever it is in a way that's fun and interactive. And that's it.
So obviously that was a passion of yours, going to Detroit, mother country.
Let's do it. Yeah, baby. Yeah,
there seems to be a theme of you and Lions fans all of a sudden.
Yeah,
Lions.
I like that. We're coming out of the woodwork, baby, and I'm bringing them all in.
Let's do it.
You know what? Dan Campbell said the train's already left, but I'm on the train already, but so we're moving.
It's only been 30 years, right?
It's only been 30 years. The 92 was the last time in the playoffs, and that was the first year I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, not living in Michigan. And I was pumped. I'm like, oh, this is the run. We're going to have this great. Never.
Again. No. Yeah. Never. You can't take it for granted.
No. So that's why I'm riding this one too, having a great time with it. But you didn't start in Michigan. Where did you start?
Sarasota, Florida.
So how did you get to GM with that move? Was it?
I went to Florida State University, and everybody has great mentors in their life. And I had a guy who believed in me before I believed in myself. And I was literally sipping a pina colada on spring break. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm sipping a pina colada in Key West." And he said, "Well, stop doing that. Stop doing whatever you're doing, smoking, whatever. Cause I got an internship opportunity for you." And so I put down everything I was doing, and he flew me up to Detroit, and literally the rest is history. And we were interns, and I was sitting in the back of the room, helping out, you know, looking over the shoulders of the car dealers and stuff. And he said, one day he said, "Corey, get up here. You're teaching the next segment." And I was like, you know, I was 20 years old, and I was like, what are you talking about? I said, "Get up here, teaching the next segment." I got up there and I flubbed it and screwed it up. And then the next day he told me to do it again and again and again and again. And, you know, month after month after month, I finally started to figure out, and I actually started to like it and enjoy it. And again, 20 years later, I'm still on stage doing what I love to do. So
that's awesome. Yeah. You found your passion.
I found my passion.
Yeah. I think that for a lot of people at that age, you're eliminating passions, right?
Yeah.
That really wasn't mine. No, I don't think that's it. And
yeah.
I wish I would have told you what mine was at 20.
Same as it is today.
Pina coladas. Yeah. But drinking and smoking. And people tell me to put that down. That's funny. I'm like, I think people
the difference between you and Corey is he put it down.
Yeah,
and you never have.
I still haven't.
No,
that to this day. So, all right. So you work for the big three. Obviously, that is large corporate world. And then you leapt out on your own. What was the next path?
I had to learn real quick. I think people do. Either you're a corporate guy or gal, or you're not. I figured out really quickly I was not. So I left. I went to a startup, and I wrote my first book called eBootcamp, which was the name of that program. And it took off. And my next mentor, my boss, knew that I needed to go out on my own. And he kicked me out of the nest, which I really appreciated. He said, "You need to go do this."
Man, you've had a couple of really good people in your life.
I did. Yeah, when I needed it most.
Common theme across all the things, you know, as we talk to people in their arc, in their career, mm-hmm. it's mentors.
Yeah.
It wasn't that this was your passion. Mm-mm. You got introduced to it and you went, oh.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's the thing I'm going to do. You know, we talk about Spencer who came on with the audio program, you know, getting into it. And so it's just, I think you got to keep your eyes open. And that's what I think also is an entrepreneurial trait. You figured that out. You kept your eyes open. You kept your opportunities open. And you took a chance.
And I'd call it following positive taps, which hopefully for your listeners, that's one big thing I would say is a big takeaway there is when the universe, God, whatever it is giving you that tap, you gotta listen to it. You gotta feel it and you gotta go with it. And there were a couple of times where I thought it was the tap and it was not. It was the startup that I wanted to do. No. It wasn't that. It was what everyone was. It's the squeaky wheel, you know, the one that everyone's like, this is great. That's the one you should do. Not the one that necessarily you think you should do that everyone is pushing against. So that I would say the
great
positive
piece tap. Of advice.
I love that. Follow the positive tap, everybody. Gold nugget dropping it already here. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right. So your first business that you started, what was it and what'd you do?
It was eBootcamp. It was a consulting firm. So, you know, I wrote the book and I started getting a couple speaking gigs. So I would go out and I would talk about internet marketing. And so there'd be a group of, let's just say, home builders, kind of like you guys. And I would talk about, you know, internet marketing at the time before social media. And there'd be, you know, 100 guys in the room and gals, and they would say, "This is great, but, I need someone to do it for me. Can you do it?" And I'd say, "Sure." And so I would do it. I'd go home and I'd do email pieces and I would do blogs and I'd do websites to the point where I couldn't do it anymore. So then I start hiring people. And the next thing you know, I had an agency. And that's how the agency was born. And I've been doing it ever since.
Why did you write the book in the first place?
Because I knew that it was working for the car dealers, and I knew it could work for other industries. And so I just started, you know, this is the honest God truth. I was in Michigan and I was a Sarasota, Florida boy, and I didn't do winter sports, and I had nothing to do on weeknights in the cold. And so I would write that manuscript because I literally had nothing to do.
While I was playing pond hockey, he's out there writing books.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. That's, all right, this is good stuff. So you've had the same business. Mm-hmm. However, you have obviously pivoted your focus over the years with your agency because you've seen the trends. So here you are in 10. You're talking about blogs, websites, and email pieces. And today, what would you – because I really want to get – this is the part I really want to get into. So I don't know if I – should we jump into it now?
I know. You're giving me the smoldering look.
I don't know.
Yeah. Because I think you should. Let's get right in.
So yep. Today – where is the focus? What would you start to tell people, and what are the key pieces that they need to do to help market their business?
Yeah. So, and I see, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's obviously been a big shift, over the years. You know, there's been certain trends obviously that have stayed the same. We all want to grow our business. We all want to, you know, some things have remained the same. For example, staying top of mind, building credibility, wanting to drive traffic to, you know, our platforms, things of that nature. But how we do it has changed over the years, and social media obviously has become a big part of that. So around, you know, 2010 through 2020, the social media sites became the mainstream over internet marketing. And so as those sites started to come about, that's how I made the big shift, you know. So it started out Facebook, Twitter, those platforms, and then, you know, those have shifted over the years as well. So now, those platforms continue to shift. And now today, I would say the primary platforms that our clients focus on most, I would say, is the acronym FIL. Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn would be the primary. Although LinkedIn and Instagram this year, 2024, are probably the top platforms for our businesses that we work with. Obviously, there are other ones out there, TikTok, Snapchat, but they tend to be younger audiences. And I would just say that, you know, one of the principles that are in my book, Authentically Social, is that beware the shiny penny syndrome. What I mean by that is, you know, there are new platforms out there like TikTok. You have to ask yourself, where is my audience? Who is my audience? If your audience is 13 to 27, TikTok is your audience.
I'm not a creepy old man. However, I have published some awesome TikToks right now.
I bet you are.
Sometimes without a shirt on.
It may work for you, and that is great. You know, I am also not
as authentic.
It's authentic. That's right.
To Corey's book, I'm following it already. I'm following his lead. Authentically,
it's a shiny penny,
huh?
It's a shiny penny.
My last post was me with my Detroit hoodie saying, "Me and Eminem, bring it at home."
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, and I mean, there are a lot of cases where TikTok is, and as a, you know, in the business that you're in, there are a lot of buyers that are TikTok users, no doubt about it. At the same token, there are a lot of companies that I work with where their buyers are average 40 and above, and that's just not their audience. You looked at it right. He looked over to the left. All right. So he was right.
So side eye to Alan. He said 40 and above. That's nice. That's cute.
That includes me.
Oh, definitely. Well in that range, my friend. So you talk about that because you said that something that I thought was really cool that he just said. Everything has stayed the same in terms of you want to be top of mind. You want to be the first person they call. You want to drive traffic to your website or to your platform. You want to make money. You want to grow. You want to be authentic in who you're doing. It's just has changed the how.
Yeah. Business is business. Sales are sales.
Yeah. And so that's the thing I think people get overwhelmed by, you know, and then the shysters come in and start going, "Ooh, I got all these new shiny stuff." And I haven't even read your book, but I'm wondering, is that the premise of that? And watch out for the new thing. And then somebody coming in telling you, you got to do this and put all your money in this because that's where you got to go.
Well, that's what gets people. The book before that was called Social Media Overload. And that would be the biggest challenge that people would have is that they get so frustrated with social media because there were so many platforms. And my thing is stay the course, focus on a few and ignore the rest. You know, the ones, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And so I've seen a lot of businesses succeed and I've seen a lot of businesses fail at social media. And the ones that succeed focus on a few and do them really well.
Do you have what it takes to start your own business? Are you tired of the 9-to-5 corporate job and ready to make that leap into entrepreneurship? You need to check out From the Zoo to the Wild, the book by successful entrepreneur Chris LaLomia. This book is a unique perspective on the journey into the wild world of home services and delivering excellence in service while working in customers' homes. LaLomia shares his path to success in this industry, including proven customer relationship strategies, award-winning customer experience processes, and a unique approach to training a team of service technicians to perform at the highest levels. Whether you're a small business trying to scale or a franchise operation, From the Zoo to the Wild will give you the mindset, habits, leadership style, and customer-oriented processes to succeed as a small business owner in the world of home services. So if you're ready to take control of your future, get a copy of From the Zoo to the Wild today, available on Amazon.
All right, let's drive into that a little bit. Okay. So I want to succeed at social media.
Okay.
Pick how many and then what should we do then?
2 to 3.
2 to 3. Got it.
Be consistent in posting. And so in the book, Authentically Social, one of the principles is be the wise owl, not the squawking parrot. So the squawking parrot talks about their products and services over mm-hmm. and over and over again, and they annoy and frustrate people. The wise owl is a guide, a trusted resource, a trusted, as your brand says on your shirt there.
Allen.
Is that implying that if you didn't say trusted, that they wouldn't have trusted you?
Well, you've already told me you're going to be the more trusted toolbox.
I am going to be the more trusted toolbox.
Yeah, well, you're not.
Until you told me you'd slash my tire.
But I'll tell you, actually, I'm working on a new campaign, and it's going to be called the Mistrusted Pageant. So anyway, back to Corey.
Well, okay, so you picked 2 or 3, but when you listed the 3, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, those are 3 completely separate languages, aren't they?
They are. So those are the ones that tend to work best for my audiences, but it just depends on who your buyer is. So for example, if millennials are your buyer, then Instagram might be your place. If C-level executives are your buyer, then LinkedIn is probably your place. If 45 and above is your buyer, then Facebook might be your place. And as I mentioned, if 13 to 26 year olds are your buyer, then TikTok might be your
What place. Is Facebook going to do? It's such a huge company, and they're kind of stuck with this stigma now that all the parents got on Facebook to see what their kids are doing, and then the kids left.
Well, what you forget is that Facebook is Meta, and Meta is the giant umbrella that also owns Instagram.
So they don't care that
they don't
Facebook.
Care. Yeah. So okay. The joke is that, you know, I'm leaving Facebook and I'm going to Instagram, and Zuckerberg goes, okay,
right. The duck gets it again, man. He
wins anyway.
He did. You know, we saw that out in Tahoe. $27 million house, Zuckerberg's house. He took down 3 houses to build his house.
I just read he got 1,600 acres in Hawaii,
yep.
And he's building a compound or a tunnel or something like that.
But back to that, here's a question I've got for you. So I've got a 25 year old daughter going back to school. She is infamous on our podcast as well for her exceedingly pointed comments at me.
Do better, Chris.
Yes, thank you. But she went to become a physician's assistant. Guess what they have? They have a Facebook group for her physician's assistant cohort class, and that's how they communicate with each other. So she is now on Facebook for this group. So talk about that. Is that like the beginning? Is that going to be transformative? Is that going to be something where Facebook probably isn't going away and going to, or that's something you still leverage as a group, or how's that work?
Yeah. I mean, Facebook groups still have relevance. Thank you. Relevance.
Yes.
Damn, bourbon.
That was a stiff pour I gave you. Sorry.
Only halfway through.
It does. You know, I think groups, linked. It's funny how the certain features on certain platforms have worked over the years and haven't. LinkedIn struggled with groups over the years. They never quite made it, you know, whereas Facebook really did well with that. So I think, yeah, to answer your question, that has helped Facebook stay relevant over the years, is Facebook groups. But yeah, they have a stigma that is old, and that has helped Facebook lose market share over the last few years. And that's going to be problematic for them moving forward. There's no doubt about it.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it's interesting. You brought up LinkedIn. Let's talk about that one a little bit more, because C-level people, you go on LinkedIn. I'm sure, Alan, as a commercial real estate agent, you're on LinkedIn more because that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I don't even do Facebook.
Right.
That's your place.
Yeah, he's in LinkedIn.
That should be your only place.
Right.
All right. So let's take Alan as a
business. He gave me a really serious look. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he did. He shot a look because I think he knows you're not as good on it.
Not very smart.
Well, that too. Oh. So what should Alan do if he is a commercial real estate agent focused in the Atlanta market to push his brand out in LinkedIn and be the wise owl, as you commented?
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Because this is, I mean, for
write
folks.
Write this down for me, Chris.
Yeah. I'll write this down for Alan.
Yeah. And everybody else on here who earn professional services like this, this is important stuff for you. This is for most of us. Number one is you should be connecting with, 15 to 25 people a month that are buyers. Because LinkedIn can't help you if you're not connected with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one of your activities per month should be just connecting with people who either you can serve or that can serve you. So that's number one. Number two is you should be posting to LinkedIn 2 to 3 times a week with high value content. Just expertise, just helping people, being the wise owl, serving people, just trying to be a trusted resource for people. That can be, answering frequently asked questions, case studies, letting people know what your company's doing to in the community, all things that are just, showcasing who you are and what you guys are about and how you serve others. So that's adding value. And then you indirectly sell your services by offering testimonials and case studies. So this is, you might have a testimonial from,
purchase and sales. Yeah.
So, that's where video helps a ton. You might have a video testimonial, you might have a case study of some kind where you're letting the other people sell your value as opposed to you selling your value, which is really helpful as well. So that I would say, and then most importantly, is you commenting on other people's posts. So being down with OPP. So I grew up in the 90s. You might remember that song, Being Down with OPP. It's not what you think, coined that song to be about. It's actually being down with other people's posts. So what I want you to do every day, spend 15 minutes a day going out on LinkedIn and commenting on other people's posts.
It's easy as congratulations, thanks, or has it got to be more?
A meaningful? Little bit more than that.
Okay.
So.
Good question, Chris.
Great question.
Write
yeah.
that one down.
Yep.
We keep score, by the way, here, Corey, and I am up 1-0.
Yep. That was a really good question.
And he actually gave me that one because he has learned. He is soaking this in, and I've already taken the notes, and I know he's going to take these.
Yeah. So you want to engage in quality conversation, and what that does, it's a double win. One is you're staying top of mind with your buyers and prospects. So you're staying top of mind with the people you want to stay top of mind with, but you're also scratching the back of LinkedIn. LinkedIn wants to create conversation on its platform. That's its currency. So by you creating conversation on other people's platforms, it will scratch your back by the next time you post by showing your post to more people. Does that make sense?
I had no idea that they cared about that.
They care about that the most, actually.
No idea. Did you know that?
I did not know that either. Yeah. And I wrote that down for all of us because I think I play in the LinkedIn space a little bit only because business owner, 16 years in it. Yes, I have driven some transactions there, but that's only from my past life being in there like, oh, yeah, hey, Chris, can I call your company? I'm like, absolutely. But by staying like that, and I didn't know. So that's definitely key. I love that. That's a great way. Another question? LinkedIn. I don't have time to do 2 to 3 posts a week. I'm not the creative. Can I share somebody else's LinkedIn posts and comment on it and get credit for that?
I hate to tell you, but he's up 2-0 now.
That's a
really good question. Good. On its own, no. That's actually.
I don't know if you get full credit for a good question when the answer is just a dead no.
That's a fair. That's a good point.
But actually, it's a great question because I've seen people share stuff.
Maybe you should have already known it.
Actually, somebody told me if you share content, it makes you look. I was like, huh.
Apparently that's
wrong. Yeah, dead wrong. It's actually crap. You don't want to share content because again, if you go back to that point that they're a conversation platform. Is share just simply sharing content adding to the conversation? Not really. You're kind of restating what somebody already said, right?
Yeah.
So what LinkedIn wants you to do is, yes, share. Say you're sharing somebody's content. Add your perspective. Okay. So let's just say you Chris, you saw something that I wrote on social media. Okay. So you hit the share button, but you add your perspective. Corey. Really like the post on the 5 new trends of social media. Specifically, I like reels on Instagram. It's something I'm trying and I'm working really hard at Trusted Toolbox, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so you added your perspective. Also wanted to mention blah, 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 blah. What do you think about that? That's what LinkedIn wants.
Getting deep, getting underneath it, not just watching some surface thing and just going repost, repost, share, share, share.
That's Instagram.
Repost, share, share.
That's
share.
Twitter. That's X. That's right. Not LinkedIn.
Got it. All right. So, wow, those were some serious gold nuggets. If you're LinkedIn, you're looking for, again, we said C-suite, but let's talk about this. Professional services, business owners. If you're a B2B company, LinkedIn's the place to go. I agree too. I think B2C, yeah. Have I picked up a couple jobs here and there? Sure. But really, I'm on LinkedIn trying to build my B2B, you know, kind of my next thing, you know, establishing the mastermind groups and coaching and consulting with other business owners as I get out of the Trusted Toolbox day-to-day stuff. So I love that idea. Now let's shift gears. I'm in a different world. Who are you working with in that Facebook, Instagram world? And let's talk about strategies for them.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because I wanted to give you...
That's three.
No. He's glad you asked it. Good question.
All right, fine.
I mean, it might be a clean sweep. But maybe you come up with like the question that gives you 4 points. I don't know, but that's...
Oh, we don't have a three-point line on our questions.
Well, I'll let Corey be the judge because I'll give you a shot. He is from Oregon.
So a couple of things, you know, one is, your concept, your strategy you need to be thinking about, especially in your line of work is hiring and the new crop of people that are coming in are looking at your Instagram feed, to decide whether or not they want to work for you. So your culture, your values, who you are as an organization should show up on Instagram. And so what does that look like? That looks like, you know, community service. It looks like, you know, work anniversaries. It looks like, work parties. It looks like mental health, you know, stuff like that. All that stuff matters. Doesn't matter as much in LinkedIn, right? You know, we didn't talk as much about that, but boy, it matters a lot. On Instagram, and it matters a lot to the millennial Gen Z world as they decide where they want to spend their time in employment. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that I didn't even think like that. And I have a ton because I've got a big focus on training in my company, and I got a big focus on culture and building the culture within our company of the handyman and the technicians and our project managers. And I didn't even think that would work. I was actually playing for the suburban housewife with our content that we've been trying to push on the Trusted Toolbox. So good point, man. I think that's a big aha. Hopefully if that's an aha for you, too bad, but it's an aha for me. Take it. Let's go. You're in the truck. Keep driving. Let's go.
Yeah, I thought that was something I knew that maybe you weren't thinking about. It was a different audience. And I want to mention that to everybody that you might remind yourself that you need to have content categories. And so one category might be adding value to the husband and wife that you might be doing a job for, but that's just one category. Another category might be testimonials. Another category might be community outreach, whatever, like we talked about, but we might have 4 to 6 content buckets that we're going to have each month, that at the end of the month, we look down at the month and we want to make sure we've filled all those buckets of content that creates your overall digital story. So going back to Instagram, Facebook, another big thing is motion. Motion moves the needle on Instagram, Facebook, not on LinkedIn, but on Instagram, Facebook. So movement matters on Instagram, Facebook. So I said movement. I didn't say video. Keep that in mind. No, video's good, but you can still do pictures. Remember, TikTok came along and started beating the crap out of Instagram, beating it up, right? So Instagram says, holy crap, I'm messing with your technology. I'm getting all fired up. Sorry.
No, you're calling.
I love it. His hands are...
Yeah, I sit on my hands. Right, yeah, yeah.
I'm soaking this stuff up.
Yeah,
you're soaking up the bourbon. My God, hey, you already dumped one bottle.
Hey, come on now.
It's good stuff. It really is good.
Corey was on a roll.
I'm your accountability partner. Put his hands down.
No, I did.
He's almost going to be an adopted Italian. You know, I think he's got the hands flying. I was like, oh my God, this guy. You know what? He identifies Italian right now.
It's really good bourbon. So it's movement. And so Instagram began as a photo sharing site. And it literally changed its entire mission to become a video first platform because of TikTok. Okay. So it's all about video. But that being said, it still will serve out photos, but in a different way. Now they've become carousel posts. So when you put out photos, you want to put multiple photos out
before, after, things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. And you make them carousel posts so that there is motion, right? So there's a long way of saying, put multiple photos out so that people can cycle through a bunch of them and create carousel posts, motion, right? So carousel posts, reels obviously are super important, and you just have to have fun and be light and entertaining.
You don't need to write that down, Chris. You've got that part down.
In order to win on Instagram, there's just no doubt about
it. So all I'm hearing about all of this is there's never a call to action. There's no hook. So in a way, it's passive marketing. I mean, you're being very active and putting a lot of bait out there, but the bait doesn't necessarily have the hook.
That's a good question.
It was a good question.
Why? I actually made him stop and think.
Well, you also made an interesting kind of look to that, which I thought maybe you had a comment on.
No, I'm dying to know.
You're just curious.
You're right. Because you just said post out motion, post out stuff, be the wise owl. No, don't go out there and hawk your wares, right?
But yeah, because it's like, oh, I got an $89 break job. Meanwhile, somebody's, you know, scrolling through their posts of their grandkids with spaghetti on their head, and then you get one of those overt call to action ones. You hate that, and you alluded to that earlier. But
so I know, I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah,
I think he's got a good one.
Well, I think that you earn the right for the call to action. So I don't think it's completely eliminated. I think that it's there. I think that you earn the right by putting it at the end and serving it up in a meaningful way. So it's kind of the 80-20 rule. So if 80% is either value or entertainment, 20% is call to action, then you're doing your job. So it doesn't mean it's eliminated, but it's certainly not the focal point of the video.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you're not doing this for non-for-profit reasons. If it's not there and you've done your job of staying top of mind and interrupting their day and awareness, then sure, you've definitely succeeded. But as a business owner of an agency, my job is to create results. So you're darn right, I'm going to have call to actions in a lot of the content I'm producing on Instagram.
But it's going to be a little more subtle though, right?
Yes.
All right, but subtle. But he's right. I mean, again, if I say, hey, Corey, take over my social media campaign, and then I go, hey, where are my results? Because I need people calling the phone. I need people dropping in my emails.
I'm putting phone numbers in. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Okay. That's amazing. But on the other side, you're right. On Instagram, when I go to the gram and start going through, and I'll start getting those sponsored posts, and the 100% is all I'm getting sold on is come to this contractor growth summit, come to this 10X program with Grant Cardone. I mean, he is the master of this too, right? And you scroll, but when I see a Grant Cardone video of him in the fam or him doing something, I stop and watch him.
Now, you just did something really interesting that I think we need to talk about.
I'll get a half a point on that.
This is an intervention. Yeah. This is an intervention.
This is an intervention. We're taking away
for you. All right, go.
Intervention. We're all guilty of this. Right, this is our age.
Me preaching on, preaching
on. You did an Instagram, Facebook thing that we do as our age, and you did this. Okay, this is what we do.
We swipe up.
We swipe up and down. There's a whole nother generation of people, age say 35 and below, that swipe left to right. Right,
because they're trying to hook up, right?
No, not necessarily, but that is part of it, right?
I've heard.
You jumped it a little too quick there. Thank God Judy doesn't listen to this show. My God, Alan, he's a good man, but you're swiping right too much, man. Is that the right? I don't even know if that's.
I don't know which way is right or wrong.
I don't either. All right, so
but because of Snapchat, I think that's what made it go the left to right thing. Okay, so stories, which is a big part of Instagram and Facebook to some degree, have you going left to right, going like this. So it's really, you're doing this, but it's going dot, 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 left, 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 right, right, right.
Carousels, stories.
Stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if Trusted Toolbox is not actively doing stories every day, you're missing an audience. For example, when I have an audience of say 500 people and it's a mixed age, I will ask this question to the audience. I'll say, how many of you only look at stories on Instagram? There will be hands that will go up. 20, 30, 40, 50 hands will go up. And it's mostly young people. But that tells you that there's audience members, there's people in there that you're not hitting because you're only doing native feed posts.
That's the post.
That's just regular posts.
And not the stories.
Not the stories.
Wow.
You're missing them.
I've heard this. But he synthesized it and put it right down. So a blend of both, yeah?
A blend of both.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask the dumb question. What's the difference between a native feed post and a story? What do you mean by a story?
That's a fair question. Yeah. It's
good question. I mean, it's close.
It's a fair.
It's in the middle.
So on your Instagram or on your Facebook, you have the circles at the top, and then you have your feed, your normal basic feed that you swipe through. So if I go and I just post a photo or a video on my Instagram right now, it goes to my normal feed. But my story up at the top can have multiple photos or videos at the same time. It lasts for a 24-hour period and then it disappears. The story is typically used for a 24-hour period a day. So it might be like a day in the life of myself. So it might be today I had a webinar, I had lunch with my wife, and I came and did this podcast and a couple other things. And so I might put all those things in my story. So if you go to Corey's story, you might see all those things, and you're flipping through and you're seeing a couple photos, a couple videos of Corey, and you're seeing more of an experience of me versus just one singular photo or video.
So that was a little bit better than a fair question, Chris.
I'm going to give you one on that one because he actually hit on something I actually use in my own company. So at the Trusted Toolbox, we're a handyman company, but we're more than that. And you know that here in Atlanta that we are the biggest ones, but we transform houses. We do remodeling as well. People want experiences. And so that's the problem that we're shooting against right now, because in the economy here we are in 2024, is the experiences are, I couldn't travel for a long time. And now I finally can. A lot of our customers are discretionary cash buyers, and I'm seeing a huge drop off in the last 3 to 4 months in asking for our services. But what was the biggest driver of economic unemployment or the keeping the unemployment numbers down in 23 fourth quarter? Tourism and government. So people are going, and where are they going? They're going overseas. So if you're spending $10,000 to $15,000 for the experience, but you just took your 10 and 12 year old to London for the first time, you're like thrilled. But he just said on Instagram, you're going there for the experience. And a story in Facebook or on Instagram is the experience. You're going through their experiences, and people jones with that more.
And let me tell you one other thing. I'll make you feel a little bit better. You might have done such a good job. Let's just say you guys had a great remodel. Like, you did a whole like before. It was beautiful. You said, you know what, we're going to do a great story on this. You did, you know, 10 pictures, you did 3 videos, and you loved it. And then you remembered something Corey said. You said, oh, dang, can you cuss on this podcast?
Hell yeah.
All you okay. want.
You said, oh, shit, it's going away in 24 hours. Mm. you can turn it into a highlight. By pressing a button and you turn a story into a highlight, it remains at the top of your Instagram feed for as long as you want
it's
it
like
to.
It's like pinning a tweet.
Huh? He gets one for that.
Come on.
He gets one. He gets
do you
one
even
for
have
that.
A Twitter account?
I do.
He gets it, and it's called.
I don't use it.
It's called okay. X, guys. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry, X. Right. Yeah.
I was doing that for the.
Well, Elon called everything
people.
X.
Yeah.
He has tried to call, because I listened to the book. I did the audiobook on Elon Musk, by the way.
At what speed?
1.25.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't go 1.5, especially when he was in school, because I was like, he went to school for engineering. I'm like, well, you know what? He went for, he went to be a physicist. He went, and so I got my master's degree under two physicists. And the entire time, all they did was beat the hell out of me, telling me how dumb I was, because they were physicists. So anyway, back to Elon. He was calling things X while he was in school, and he was totally enthralled with space in the beginning. This is not a fluke thing. It's not the billionaire's toy. That is not true. He definitely is doing that. Now, would I ever want to work for this guy? A hell no. Do I think he's a nutball? Yeah. But is he a genius? Yeah, he is, man. I'm telling you.
You got to be a little bit crazy when you're that smart.
He is. So I didn't want to tangent too hard on this, but he did. He called it X. He's got a kid named X, by the way.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
No, no. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
His kid's name's X. Wow. He wanted to call PayPal X. He's just infatuated.
I still don't know what you call tweeting, though.
Are you Xing?
Are you Xing?
Because that's, you know, if you're Xing, that's like divorcing,
right?
Out of a relationship. Yeah,
I'm thinking about crossing the road, Chris.
X-ing, whoops. Yeah. Well, we're all in different
Look
places
both ways
in our life
before the train comes. Yeah, that's right.
All right, man, we're coming to the end. We got to keep rolling. Yeah. Corey's dropping so many damn.
Yeah, this
nuggets.
Is amazing.
Yeah,
this
right.
Needs to be a two-parter.
This is awesome stuff. So let's go back in this. You have pivoted. You've been the OG. You've been watching this stuff coming. What do you think the trends are? We're coming into 24. What should people to get ahead of it do?
Well, you know, I will have to, you know, rely on my book I just put out. You know, I think
what's
that
the name of that book, Corey?
It's called Authentically Social.
Pushing that in the dates, yep. Man.
Thank
I know
you.
You're driving. Go check it out. Authentically Social. He brought in a copy for us too.
I did.
All right. Yep. So you want to hear it. You get to hear a little bit freebie right here, right? Just a little bit tease, but it's available on Amazon. So go out and get it.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like when social media first came out, we were all very authentic. I think like when, you know, we talked about Twitter, you know, it was our real thoughts when Facebook and stuff came out. And of course some of it was silly. I know, like the food that we were eating, and it was all a big joke, but boy, when commercial stuff came out, it just became like this terrible fake, you know, and everybody just hated it in that way. So the pendulum went from way too authentic to way too fake, right? It was just like, and we hated it for the exact opposite reason. It became just the two terrible places. So we needed it to come back a little bit to the middle. And that's where I'm hoping that we can bring it back to, which is, you know, a place where we can be real, our authentic, transparent, you know, selves on social again. Because I think that's what moves the needle. Over the last 15 years of watching businesses, again, succeed and fail on social, the ones that add value, that serve others, win. And the ones that use it as a billboard or brochure lose.
Period. Huge point right there. You know what? If you're listening to this and you're like, as soon as I stop my truck or as soon as I'm done with my walk, I'm going to go out there and post and say, hey, if you want to use Chris's X services.
And look like that. Yeah, man, you're really doing a good job of pulling it all together today, Chris.
Right? Thank you. And so call 770-623-3097. 770-623-3097. Boo! But if you want to see me on my walk and you want to see that I tripped over a rock and I fell and I scraped my knee, kind of funny. And you probably look at that more, wouldn't you?
Right.
So you look at it more, but I'm still trying to figure out how does that turn into somebody picking up the phone and calling you? And I guess it goes back to that top of mind and just the brand impressions and all that stuff.
That's the thing you have to be so careful with. It's not silly willy, you know, scrape your knees stuff. It's adding value. It's not, you know, what I ate for dinner. We can't go back there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we can't do the, hey, look at me. I'm just walking.
No,
my clothes
not,
on.
It's
and
serving.
You don't see me do that, by the way, anyway, because no, I am not a young 21-year-old.
No, it's serving other. And we have to think about what serving others mean. Let me just give you a quick example. During the Super Bowl, I remember a few years ago, I put out what I thought was the best social media advice I'd ever put out. I mean, it was gold, and it got shit. It got like one like,
right? You're like, I just came down from the mountain and put out one of my best thoughts.
I mean,
ever.
It would have made you a lot of money,
and it boom,
it nothing, because you know what? Nobody gave a crap because it was during the Super Bowl. A year later, I said, guess the closest score of the game, and I'll send you an autographed copy of my book. And I got, you know, better results because people were just watching the game. The point is that meet people where they are.
Oh, such a good
Everybody game. Was mm. into the game. Like, what the hell was I thinking about at the time? So you got to, like, know where your audience is, first of all. Second of all, you know, where are the extensions of your brand that people care about, you know, or even not? You know, I remember one of the biggest, most engaged posts that I ever got in my life was how crispy your bacon should be.
Think about that. For
that's fighting words.
That honestly, that's holy stuff, right? God, no God, crispy bacon. This is a big one.
It has nothing to do with my business, and I get that. But at the end of the day, it resonated with people, you know. And sometimes, and I don't know why, and it doesn't have to be all the time, but sometimes you just have to be the light. You just have to find ways to meet people where they need to be at the time.
You know, we actually talk about that even in our sales process. When we walk into people's houses, you got to meet them where they're at. So we'll come in and somebody will say, hey, I just want you to fix my door. Well, you can tell immediately the door has to be replaced. They don't want to hear that. So you have to meet them where they're at and then get them to come up to the realization that I guess the door needs to be replaced. You know, when the door's delaminating, the door jams off and the sill nose is falling down and they're like, can you just like short back up? You know, and you know, they're thinking like 100, maybe 200 bucks. You're like, you got to meet them where they're at. You can't just walk right in. To your point, you can't walk right in and go, nope, you're looking at a $2,000 door. Dude, what? Oh, you're crazy. Oh, my God. You got to meet them where they're at and bring them back up to you.
And at the same time, and just real quick, but when you walk in the door and you see in the corner of your eye that they happen to be a lion, you see a lion's helmet there. Okay? You know, so there's mutual connection there. Or maybe over to the left there, you see that they graduated from, you know, Florida State University. Hey, go Noles. So commonalities, right? You're building rapport. You're finding things, connection.
Great point. That is actually excellent, right? That is amazing. That's
classic sales.
It is. Yeah. That's just sales. Like you said, right off the bat, sales is well, you said it. Sales is sales.
I did, didn't you? Didn't give me a point.
Okay, you get a point there. But sales is sales. That's what you're doing on social media. You're out there finding commonality, finding common ground, and providing wisdom and providing guidance. Corey, you've been nailing this thing. This has been awesome. This is going to be gold, my friends. I can't tell you how great this is going to be, but I got to ask you my famous four questions. I don't know, Corey, if you can move on to these final four questions, but I'm going to have to hit you with them because Alan and I are crazy about these things. What is the favorite book that's not yours, by the way? Because, by the way, Corey's got three. We'll put them in the show notes. You got to check them out. I would probably start right now with Authentically Social just for you guys. I read The Social Media Overload. That's a good one, too. I did not read the ebook. But I would say right now, guys, where we're at in life is it's a quick read. It's easy read. The way he writes is very easy, by the way, for you to digest. Well, I shouldn't say you. It's mostly me. Shut up, Alan. All right. Number one, give us a book that you would recommend to our group.
Sure. And I will say that if you picked your own book, you should punch yourself in the face, right? I mean, there's nothing about that.
Again, you just got to talk about that. You can't be self-promoting.
I mean, that's
so I did it for you.
Terrible. But I would pick How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It's a book that changed my life multiple ways, changed my wife's life. And it's just a book that easy principles, but made me a better human being.
How about that, Alan? Maybe you could be a better human being if you... Oh, you did already read that. I forgot that part. All right, we'll keep going. All right, number two. What is the favorite feature of your home? As a remodeler and a handyman guy, I'm really into it. What's the favorite feature of your home?
Kind of a little bit of an off one, but I happen to live on a lake. So I have a floating dock that we recently built. That is probably my favorite feature. So.
No, that is awesome. I love that. You know, because water, floating dock. I have often said that I would have a place on the lake, and here I am in Atlanta, with a long ways away from a lake. And my friends, I chose a business that it makes me have to go all over. I cannot live at the lake here in Atlanta. So that's awesome. All right. One of the big things we talk about on our podcast is customer service, because Al and I are customer service. Always got his tongue tied. Freaks. We want to know, what's a customer service pet peeve of yours when you're out there and you're the customer?
Customer service pet peeve of mine is when I'm only called upon when it's invoice time. I feel like when I'm reached out, I just remember one time during COVID, when my banker called up, it was during the PPP loan thing. And he just said, "Hey man, I just know this is a tough time. And I know this is a confusing process. I just want to know if you're doing okay." And I was like, "Wow, I'm going to bank with you for life, just because the fact that you don't need anything from me, you don't need my business or anything, you're just checking on me, means the world to me." So it's just been something I'll never forget.
That's a great one. Actually, you turned the customer service pet peeve into a customer service win.
Sam.
Now we can talk about that in a family win. I would just want my 25 and 22-year-old to call me and say, "Hey, Dad, how are you doing?" Not, "Hey, Dad, what do you need now?" Yeah, you know, my bank account's a little low. And everybody who thinks that I got the 25-year-old still on it. By the way, she has loans. She worked for 3 years before she went back to do her PA thing. So I know who am I kidding? She's daddy's girl, and I paid way too much. So, but that's a great one, right? Just that. And we talked about this on the Reber podcast, which is a couple ago, Contractor Fight, Tom Reber. And he said, one of the best things I've heard, and we've actually talked about it in our company, to do the unexpected intentional touch. And that's what he just did. He called you and said, "Hey man, I know this is a tough time." And PPP, when that came around, I don't know who had them, who didn't have them. It actually gave me peace of mind to grow. Now in the home services business, we exploded, but we didn't know that was coming. I mean, I was staring at option A, which is close the business back down, or not close it, but I was going to run it really lean, which is what I did. I laid everybody off. I went part-time with a lot of people. I started answering the phones myself, and boom, 2 months later here in Georgia, we were open and rocking and rolling. I got PPP that month, brought everybody back paid everybody, gave everybody back their money. And PPP allowed me to do that, and everybody came right back. It was awesome.
But it's like, you know, when you have a partner or a vendor or whatever, you're a customer of somebody, and you know, when you see that phone thing and every time you answer, it's like, "Hey, you didn't, you know, you're late on your payment," or what, it's always something, you know, it's like, it's never something. That's a pet peeve, I guess.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cause I, how about the employees that text you like, "Hey Chris, do you have a minute?" You know, that one's not going to be the, "I just wanted to tell you how awesome it is to work here. And I just wanted to tell you, you're the best boss ever." No, it's usually something that's going to be unpleasant. All right, let's move on to number four. Now, we love the DIY nightmare stories. We love fire. We love water damage. We love dismemberment. I actually told a story on one of the podcasts where I actually put a foot through my nail. I put a nail through my foot because my buddy didn't come over and help me put up a beam in my own home. Yes. So give us a DIY nightmare story.
A DIY. Oh gosh. I mean, you know, I just bought my house that I live in here recently. So I've got a few. Well, I'll tell you that I recently have had a mouse problem. And we've had so I've DIY'd trying to get rid of them. And so we started out by doing it the humane way of, you know, first we got these little peppermint balls, and so we put these little balls out, and you'd see the mice literally run by the balls, just sort of look at them as they'd scurry by them, and they just walk by it like, yeah, that's going to do anything to them. And then we bought these things where these little tubes that they'd put them inside, and that didn't work either. And so, so then we bought traps. And and needless to say, a couple of times, you know, a couple of fingers had gotten, you know, hurt in the process, kids, you know, playing with them, things of that.
Oh no.
But those things have worked, I will say, without sounding too gruesome in the process, but that has taken care of the problem. But that, I would say, has been the DIY project of recent memory that I have taken on that has eventually worked out, but, you know, has had its challenges.
I love that you tried the humane way. I appreciate that, and I love you for that.
Thank you.
And I will not tell everybody what I usually do if any of these situations ever arise. Squirrels, mice, rats, or any of the various pests that you may think of. Anytime they get in my house, there is 100% chance that it's not going to be humane in my building. All right, we got to get out of here. Alan, we've had a blast. You haven't learned something today, man. That's on you, because this was dynamite. We dropped so many gold nuggets. Corey Perlman, go out and check his book out, Authentically Social. How can we hear about you, Corey? We'll put these in the details in the bottom.
Well, first, let me say thank you for having me on. Thank you all for listening. It's really been a joy and a pleasure to be here. My two websites are CoreyPerlman.com. Corey is spelled C-O-R-E-Y, and Perlman without the A, P-E-R-L-M-A-N. And my agency website is ImpactSocialMedia.com. And like you said, the book is out, Authentically Social. I'm really proud of it. It's 15 years in the making. And I would love for you to check that book out. So thanks again for having me, Chris.
He's OG. He's ready to go. He's digital marketing. You learned it all, man. This is the free stuff. This is just a little taste. If you didn't get some taste, you get a little bit more. Go check him out. CoreyPerlman.com. And we're out of here. Gotta go.